Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 that we have the mind of Christ. And we're going to continue that theme this evening as we have pretty much for the last three evening lessons. And today we want to look again at the idea that Christ, you know, He works in the children of God. And we want to remember that. You know, again and again, I think I could count with all my fingers and toes how many times I've been called a fool. And if you evangelize and you go out and you talk to people, sooner or later you'll be called a fool too. And it shouldn't amaze you, because the fact is that most people are really uninterested in the Bible. They're uninterested in the truth, the way, the life. They're not interested in the light of God's Word or the inspiration. And when you speak the oracles of God, you know, they really don't have a defense. And so they just call you a fool. You're wrong. I don't care what that says. And that's not what I believe. Let me tell you how I feel. Well, you know, God defines fool in the Bible in a lot of different ways. In the book of Proverbs alone, if I remember correctly, there's 78 times the word fool or foolish is being used. And so you read Proverbs, you'll learn quite a bit about what it means to be a fool. David said in Psalm 14 and 1 that the fool has said in his own heart, there is no God. And you know, they're corrupt. And so that's one way to define a fool, somebody that is an abominable worker and they don't do anything good. They just don't understand. And concerning the one that a person that can't even fathom the great works of God and the great wisdom of God, considering that kind of a person, in Psalm 92 and 6, we read that person is senseless man who does not know, nor does as a fool does he understand. And so those kinds of things define the idea of a fool. In Proverbs 10 and verse 21, Solomon writes, the lips of the righteous feed many, but a fool dies for lack of wisdom. And so we want to be not the fool, but when you think of these ways in which God defines the fool, He's always looking at two sides. And there is the fool and then there's the wise. And we want to be that person whose lips feed the righteous. We want to do that. We want to feed many. We want to feed many. But that's only because so many people today are spiritually discerned, unable to understand literally what the Scriptures say. Simple, simple things. He who believes and is baptized. Oh, that's just foolishness. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, God says, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You see the contrast there? Proverbs 12 and 15 and Proverbs 18 in chapter and verse 2. A fool has delight in understanding, but expressing his own wisdom. You know, I understand, let me explain it. And he has a right, you know, his own wisdom is his foolishness. Because they think that they are up to date, they are, you know, they're with it today, and God, He's out of date, old fashioned. And so there's a lot of things about Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, though, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if we have the mind of Christ, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, and we let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus, then I think we're standing on pretty good ground. And so, but what we want to look at, a few things tonight about Christ. And here we have three scriptures that we've had in the last lesson. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And John wrote, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. And so that's the foundation. We want to imitate Christ. We want to imitate the apostles. We want to imitate the early church. We want to imitate what we see here that is good and wise. As Christians, we need to imitate the example of Jesus Christ over and above all. His attitude, His character, His relationships with other people, with the Father Himself, and with the people in that area of the world where He had done His ministry for 3 years or so. And so I'm thankful that we have the Word of God that allows us to be faithful Christians and allows us to actually have what God wants us to know of His mind. We will never know everything, but we need to seek to know the mind of Christ. And so what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we're infallible. It doesn't mean that it's like some of the leaders today, we mentioned Joseph Smith this morning, Armstrong, Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Taz Russell, the popes in succession there, they all think they're infallible. Whatever they say has to come to pass and it has to be true. And it doesn't mean that we receive new revelation, as many people today claim. It doesn't mean that we know everything. Oh, I have the mind of Christ. It says so right here. And so don't argue with me. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we're God. It doesn't mean that our thoughts become His thoughts, right? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. What did God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we're not God. We don't go there. But we think, what does it mean? It means that we accept the plan of salvation. It means that we accept the purpose that God had for us in life. If you remember this morning, if you were here this morning, we made a mention that God did not create us and create this world so that we could end up in wrath, receiving the wrath of God, but He did it so we could receive His love. He did it so that we could be saved. He did it. He had a plan. The plan is much more of an expanse than our minds, our little minds can handle. But if we can just, we look at everything that's made, we see the stars in the heavens, we listen to science who is actually coming around. If you do a little bit of research lately, you'll see that there's a lot of scientists who are coming around to the idea that the Big Bang Theory isn't true anymore. It can't be. They realize there had to be something. And of course, they're starting to understand that more and more. So we need to have the perspectives of a godly person. Our patterns of good works showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, 2 Timothy 2 and 7 tells us, teaches us that. That pattern that we have for worship, Philippians 3 and 17. It means that we're saying nothing new. We're not saying anything new. We're sticking to the doctrines and the patterns that are laid out for us. And we're also a person that says, not my will, your will. Remember Jesus said that, and we're supposed to imitate Jesus. So when it comes to, is it my way is right or His way right? Well, obviously, His way is right. And so we want to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. That's our duty, to fear God and keep His commandments, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, that's our job. That's what we should be doing. And so we need to make our hearts ready. We need to focus on God's Word, and that, Lord willing, we'll do some of that this evening. And so we want to look at these five truths about the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 15. In chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we read it. It stands in power. And if you turn over there, you can follow along with this. With me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and beginning here 15, verses 5 and 6, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, right? So our faith should not be in what? It should not be in anything less than the wisdom of God. It's not in the power of man, it's in the wisdom and the power of God. And he goes on there in verse 6, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age. And that's why we are called fools. That's why people disapprove of the message of God, because the wisdom of this age, the darkness and the rulers of this age, they're going to come to nothing, and that's the reason why. He also says in verse 7 that it involves revealed wisdom. It's no longer hidden. We're not speaking things that are like secret and I have to be in some special club to be able to understand it. And it can't be received by those without the Spirit. That's really interesting when you look at that verse 14. It cannot be received by those without the Spirit. The natural man, somebody that is of the world, has not obeyed the gospel, and many, you know, they listen and listen and listen, but they just won't obey, and over time, it just proves out. It can't be received, that kind of wisdom, and gives believers discernment who rightly judge, to rightly judge all things. And so, and then the next point, you know, salvation, and this is really simple, and we've all heard this before, John 6:45. We talked about it this morning. If you're going to come to Christ, you need to be drawn to Him, and you're drawn to Him by the hearing and teaching of the Word, and that's what draws you to Christ and eventually to the Father. John 8:24, Jesus said that you have to believe. You have to believe that He is, or you die in your sins. So that's pretty straightforward and simple. Luke 13:3, Jesus tells us that we have to repent. And I should use the word must repent. You know, we don't have to do anything. We must. That's a much more powerful word. If we want to be saved, we need to hear the gospel, believe the gospel. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Jesus before men so that He'll confess us before His Father in heaven, Matthew 10:32. And, of course, we need to believe and be baptized, Jesus said in Mark 16:16. And then we need to remain faithful. Those are those steps. Now, that's the mind of Christ. When you're talking with people, you would be able to, you should be able to bring those things up from memory. You want to be able not to stumble around, not to have to look up notes and things. Just memorize those. And that's what makes for good evangelism, is being able to answer on the spot. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, being always ready to give an answer to Him that asks of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so, as we think about this, we must understand all scriptures God breathed. When you have a study with somebody and you say, you know, we're going to deal with the mind of Christ, all of this is God breathed. Both the Old and the New Testament, it's all there. It's all from God, and it needs to be properly applied. And Paul wrote, if anyone thinks himself a prophet or spiritual, listen to that. If you think yourself a prophet or spiritual, how many people today think that? You know, I was hoping last Thursday to have a Bible study with a woman who called me on the phone, and she sounded so excited we were going to have a Bible. She gave me quotes from two scriptures, and on the telephone I told her those, Calvin was here. You remember I told her that's not that word power, it's the word authority. And she called back, and or she texted me back and said, you know, you were right. That scripture, that word really is authority. It's not the word power, but we're not going to come. She has an agenda. She wants somebody to teach her the way she wants to be taught so that she can get a ministry license and go out and preach the gospel. Paul said, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the words that I write are what? The commandments of the Lord. And so this is what makes you able to preach the truth. And people all, I'm spiritual. And I really can't tell too many stories, but my wife and I picked somebody up at Sam's Club a few years back, and she was all upset because her ride left, and she had these carts full of groceries, and we put them in our car, took her home. On the way home, I tried to preach Jesus to her, and she said, well, you know, I'm very spiritual. I even wrote a book, and it has some scriptures in it. It's a very spiritual book. But she didn't want to hear the message. She didn't want to have the mind of Christ. She wanted to use parts of Christ's mind for her own agenda. And so anyway, think of these things. When we say we have the mind of Christ, right away, we need to be having a mind that brings glory to God. Right? Father, glorify thy name. That's what Jesus said to the Father. And the Father says, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. And through Him, through Jesus, Father, glorify thy name. When I'm out there and you're out there and we're talking to people, we meet somebody new, the whole purpose is to glorify God. The whole purpose is to get them to see the glory of God through Jesus Christ. John chapter 17 and in verse 1, Jesus lifted up His eyes to heaven. What did He say? Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that I may glorify you. Isn't that something? And so we need to be a person that is glorifying God. We need to actively seek the lost, just like Jesus did. For the Son of Man came to seek what? To seek and to save that which was lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see that? John 3 and 17. We have to have the mind of Christ. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said to Timothy. And so we have to have the right perspective, and we have to have a compassionate heart, and we need to be a people of prayer. And I should say a person. Individually, we need to be like Christ. We want the mind of Christ. We need to be like Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, what do we read? Jesus withdrew Himself often into the wilderness to pray. Jesus went out to the mountains to pray. And at His own baptism, He prayed, and the heavens were opened. We all need to reflect, and we all need to seek counsel from God. We need those characteristics of Christ within us on a proven basis. We are soldiers of Christ, and we need to arise, and we need to have that full armor on so that we can fight the good fight, and so that we can help people. And so we need to apply all of these principles right here. Very simple. You know what's wrong though in the world? I had lunch with my brother and his wife at a convention one time, and his wife and I are sitting at the table, and we've got a Bible open, and I'm trying to explain to her that Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." I explained to her those things about you must hear and be taught, and that you must accept, you must believe, and so on. And you wouldn't believe how loud she shouted, "You Pharisee!" Real loud. I mean, everybody in the little food area are all looking at us now. "You Pharisee!" Why was I a Pharisee? Well, you know what's wrong is that people call you a Pharisee, and you need to know this, they're not actually calling you a Pharisee. They're calling what you think they think is a Pharisee. So what is it to be, what does it mean to be Pharisaical? I don't know if that's a word or not. Phariseeism. Okay? They accuse you, you know, thinking they're okay. That's what the Pharisees were. They're okay. They don't need anybody. They neglected the weightier matters of the law. They were hypocritical. They were trying to fool and trick Jesus and trap Him all the time. And they transgressed the commandments of God with their traditions. That's what a Pharisee is. But that's not what people are saying when they call you a Pharisee. When people call you a Pharisee, what they're actually saying is, you are legalistic. You're quoting Scripture. You know, listen, it's not about the Scripture. That's what they're actually saying. If you're quoting Scripture, you're a Pharisee. You're just gonna live by the letter of the law. Jesus said in Matthew 15, you know, they transgress the commandments of God. He says they draw near to Me with their mouth and with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Right? Why? Why are their hearts far from Him? Right? In vain they do worship Me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And that's what they were condemned for. Jesus never one time condemned a Pharisee or any person who was keeping the law. He never condemned anybody. What He did is condemn them because they were making up their own laws, their own rules, and they were making other people follow that. That's what it means to be Pharisaical. And that's what people are accusing. They don't understand. They're accusing you of doing exactly what we should be doing, keep the law. Not the old law. We're under the law of Christ. We don't keep the old law. There's a new priest, a new priesthood. There's a new covenant. We keep the law of Christ. But when people call you a Pharisee, and they will, what they're telling you is, you know, you're bad because you're quoting Scripture. You're telling me I got to obey this stuff? You know, it's not about that. It's all about love and grace, and certainly, you know, when it comes to Pharisees, certainly they were sinners, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's not why Jesus was condemning them. The woes for the Pharisees was because they were hypocrites and because they taught men to obey their traditions rather than the teachings of God. And those two things made them wrong in the eyes of God. And so people today regularly change the mind of Christ to meet their own minds. You know, it's, my ways are higher than your ways, God. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, God. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And so people will call, you speak the oracles of God, you'll be called a Pharisee. I guarantee it, sooner or later. But that's okay. Just let it slide. Look at Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15 with me for a moment. Romans 10, 14 and 15. We read this morning. Paul says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring good, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Who? You see, that's the problem. They want you not to preach Jesus. Paul is describing Philip, who went and ran up to a chariot by the command of the Lord, literally, and preached Jesus. He wants you to be the Paul and the Silas in prison who preached to the Philippian jailer, and him and all his household that very same hour were baptized. They believed. He wants you to be like Christ, seek and save that which is lost. And if that means you got to be called names, well, so be it. Because I guarantee you there is somebody in the multitude out there that wants to hear the message, that needs to hear the message. No excuses. We must allow the narrative of Christ silence the false teachers. We have to take the misguided individuals and guide them as gently as we can, but directly to the cross. And we do that with the mind of Christ. We do that by thinking the way that Christ does. Living the way that Christ does. And listen, we're in good company. If we're called Pharisees by people who don't understand, we're in good company because we're with Christ Himself. And you notice Jesus, you know, He wouldn't accuse people on just, He was accusing the Pharisees because they wouldn't accept Him, His way. They wouldn't accept God in His way. They didn't accept the authority of the Scriptures. They didn't accept those things. And so to be called a Pharisee is you're in the same place as Jesus. Teaching salvation, making it connected to obedience is why I was yelled at by my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. Your argument, she says, you know, they're not spiritual. You're just like those Pharisees. You're just poking at the letter of the law. You don't have a heart. You know, what is this? There's only one way, really? There's only one way this, and there's many ways. That's what people will tell you. What, it's got to be your way or nothing? Well, no, not at all. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he's the one that says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But it's not another gospel. But there are some who pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what we're talking about. And he says, if we or an angel from heaven were to preach any other gospel to you than that which you received at first, let him be accursed. Anathema. One of the worst things you can imagine. Separated from God. Eternity in hell. Terrible. And Paul repeated that a second time. If anyone preaches any other gospel than that which you received at first, let him be accursed. For do I speak to persuade men or to please men? If I speak to please men, I'm no longer a servant of God. But people want us to please them. And if you don't, you're going to be called a Pharisee. Seriously, Jesus said there's only one way, one truth, and one life. Ephesians chapter 4, we read all the, you know, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one body or church. Really? But people that you can't discern the truth, the people who are in the world and refuse, that's the people who will give you such a hard time. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, you remember what happened? Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And you know, there's many false teachers out there who do not serve the Lord, but they serve their own bellies with smooth words and flattering speech. They deceive the hearts of the simple, Paul said, Romans chapter 16:18. The bottom line is that today's teachers have perverted the minds, especially of young people, even in churches out there, into believing that any way will get you there, that any way will get you their theology. Anyway, Billy Graham is in an interview with a man named Dr. Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral in California, Orange County, California. It was just a mile and a half from where I used to live. Dr. Schuller, right? And Dr. Schuller's asking Billy Graham questions. And he says, Bill, Mr. Graham, what is the future of Christianity? And this was his answer. Billy Graham says, well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there is the body of Christ which comes from all the Christian groups around the world or outside the Christian groups. I think that everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. What God is doing today is calling people out of the world for His name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are all members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may, now listen to that. Oh, man. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved, and they're just going to be with us in heaven. Okay? So what did Mr. Schuller, you know, Dr. Schuller says, well, what I'm hearing you say is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into a human heart and soul and live and life, and it should soul and life, even if they have been born in darkness and have never had no exposure to the Bible. Is that correct, the interpretation, Dr. Graham? Yes, it is, because I believe that. I met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations, and they have never seen a Bible nor heard about a Bible. They've never heard of Jesus, but they've believed in their hearts that there is a God. And they tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they lived. Dr. Schuller, this is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There is a wideness to God's mercy, Billy Graham, there is. There definitely is. You understand what you're reading? What you're hearing? You don't have to know Jesus. You don't have to know the name of Jesus. You don't have to have ever heard of Jesus. You've never had to have heard or been taught like Jesus commanded. And you can be saved. It doesn't matter, because God will call you. And you can be in some tribal nation somewhere in the world that's never heard of Jesus, the Bible, Christianity. Maybe it's a tribe that eats one another. I don't know. But you're saved because you believe in the God. And in that article, they capitalized the word God. It should have been a God, a little God. You just, in your own mind, go back. It doesn't take much for us as adults to think back of tribal gods. There's many of them. But it's the only God they know. And so they'll be saved. That is the kind of thing that the world believes. Jesus in Matthew 7:14 said there's a wide gate. Many come and many will enter. And there's a narrow gate that leads to heaven. Narrow and difficult. Many will come, but few will enter. Why? Because there's only one God. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one Spirit. There's only one church or body. And there's only one God and Father altogether. Right? 1 Corinthians 15 and 24, what's going to happen? Paul writes, then comes the end. That's when we'll really, really know that everything that we've been teaching, everything that we've taught, the oracles of God, the pillar, the ground, and the truth, all the scriptures that we have memorized, all the times we've discussed it with people, we will really know on that day. We will know that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and they're all better, and that salvation only comes through Christ Jesus, one way, one truth, one life. And we'll know that if we believe and obey that form of doctrine. We'll know that. Right? We don't have a problem with that. Christians will be ridiculed. You know, there's many bodies out there. There's many churches. They're all in Christ. They're all just different, but they're all the same. Who are we believing? We can believe self. We can believe Billy Graham. We can believe mom and dad. We can believe all kinds of people anywhere, any time in the world. But who are we believing? If we believe God, we are believing in the only one who can save our souls. And if that means that preaching that to the letter means that I'm pharisaical, then so be it. But that isn't what the word means, is it? You know that. And so whenever anybody says that, you just kind of run some of this through your mind. That's not what it means to be a Pharisee. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23. Let's see why Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He never condemned them for doing something that they should have been doing. He condemned them for doing things they should not have been doing, or things they did not do, the things they omitted, or the things they added by their own traditions. And listen, I'm just reading the Word of God. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In the days of Noah, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure were under baptism now saves us. I'm just reading the oracles of God. That's not pharisaical. Jesus said there's only one way, one truth, one life. So there can't be two ways. There's only one church. I will build my church. There's only one church. Who's right, Billy Graham or Schuller or God? Of course you know the answer. We teach that salvation is connected to obedience or vice versa. Right? We're not arguing. We're not like the Pharisees. We believe there's only one way, one truth, and one life. For quite frankly, they did too. They were waiting for Messiah. So are you dogmatic? I don't think so. I don't think so. In John 12 and 50, what do we read? And I know the commandment, His commandments are to everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has said to me, so I speak. It's all coming from God. If you reject me, you reject Him who sent me, Jesus said. He who rejects my words has that which will judge him in the last day, the words that I speak. Will judge him in the last day. It's obvious. We're not being dogmatic. But you need to be careful and allow people to talk, but you need to teach. And you need to be ready to teach. You know, little children, let no one deceive you, John wrote. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. You have the answer right there to salvation. I pray that, that's something that you're interested in tonight. If you have not obeyed the gospel, why not? Jesus came to seek and save you, me, every soul. And if we have not been living up to par in our Christian walk, now's the time to change that. The song we're going to sing tonight, Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Would you do that tonight? If you have a need, please let Him lead you to the waters of baptism or to repentance of your sin as we stand and as we sing.